Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Rob Thrasher. As you can see, you might have seen the webpage. We are sort of relaunching and recommitting and redoing, if you will, our Healing with Art. Some mostly small changes, things that you might not even notice. Some small changes on the site, some small changes on how we're going to go about doing business. But we're back at it. And this is Spotlight on Mental Health with me, Rob Thrasher. And Amanda is here. Are you still there, Amanda? I didn't lose you, did I?
No, you didn't, Rob. Hi, how are you?
Ah, there she is. Good, good, good. How's everything going these days?
Oh, my goodness. Everything is going all right. I've actually been diagnosed with a lot more lately. Mental health is really starting to affect my life.
And I know we had a discussion, and one of the things that we've talked about in the past and more recently even so, is we do have some guests planned. We're not 100% sure if they'll make it, but we wanted to kind of focus a little bit on the relaunching. We've got a new Facebook page. We've got some new contact forms and some ways that people can help. And really, here's our first goal. And you know this, Amanda. Our first goal is to raise enough funds to become a 501c3 or a 501c nonprofit organization, which we never quite got to the first time around. So, but that's our goal first and foremost. I'd like to get some business people who would like to have us be like their kind of official nonprofit once we become a nonprofit. We do have a couple of guests, and what we were going to do today, and maybe even we'll do this like the whole month of May, will be, so we talk a lot about how mental disorders and diagnoses like mental disorders, how they affect the individual person. We also would like to talk a little bit about how they affect immediate family members and how mental health disorder affects your family, from moms and dads to children of people with mental health disorder. We do have someone on the line right now, Amanda. Hold on, I'll bring your mom with us.
All right.
All right, this is Rob and Amanda. We're talking about Spotlight on Mental Health today. And what's your first name and city?
Cindy.
Can you hear me, guest?
Yes, my first name is Cindy.
Cindy?
Yes.
Hi, Cindy. I'm Rob. This is Rob and Amanda, and we're talking a little bit about how mental health can affect the entire family. Quite frankly, I have read where even moms, dads, and other, maybe even children can suffer from side effects of PTSD. What do you have for us, Cindy?
Well, Amanda has my daughter. And seeing her go through her mental diagnosis and how they affect her has affected me.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get help for people with mental illness is tough. There just isn't help out there, but there's not really anything for family members either, where they need to try and cope with what the person with the mental illness is going through, and how do I cope with that myself?
Right.
It,
yeah, that's a good question.
Depression myself, anxiety. It's like when I go to work, is she going to be okay? It's a whole mess of just different emotions. And when I see her going through something with somebody, or they bully her and they won't leave her alone, and, you know, it affects her depression and or triggers her manic or bipolar, it just really affects me in a way, mm-hmm. not just being her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to help her cope, it also yep. brings on my own depression and my own anxiety. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, Cindy, that the that on some level, and you know, we're being straight here, right? Amanda, maybe you want to. Do you think on some level that her mental health disorder has created one for you that maybe wasn't, maybe would not have, in other words, shown itself? Do you think that that's helped bring on your own kind of anxieties and mental health?
Yeah, because I see her going through it.
Right.
And I can't help her.
Right. The feeling of helplessness. You don't feel like you can control, and that a lack of control and just really utter hopelessness. Sometimes hopelessness, even though you have to keep a face of hope, sometimes the parents lose that as well. You know, like you say, who was your backup? You know, who's your go-to? And sometimes you got one, sometimes you don't. That's the hardest thing is if you don't have something, you know, to help you get through your, you know, your issue, that's the worst case because you can't support a third person, you know, when you're having your own problem.
Right.
And I can relate to that. Wow, yeah, that's heavy. Did you, and please forgive me if you don't want to answer, did you feel like you had anxiety issues? I mean, when did her issues come forward? I know a lot of times it's 12-ish, 13-ish. Was that the same for
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah. It was about 12 for her.
Yeah. And, so before her symptoms arose, did you feel like you needed mental health help, or did this really come on for you almost the same time as having to worry about her every day 24/7?
Well, mine really didn't start coming on. I had a traumatic experience.
Okay.
My husband had passed away 8 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So after that, and hers getting worse and the medication not working, and she's tried everything. She has tried so many meds. I could be on the show for an hour and with the medication
I know.
That she's tried.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard. That's hard, too. And it's, I mean, that can be difficult in two ways. That can be difficult because it's just constantly being told, nope, that one didn't work. Nope, that one didn't work. Nope, that one didn't work. On the other hand, there's doctors that don't even want to try to work with you to try to keep tweaking everything. And I got to be honest, in my family, we kind of found the right concoction. But, you know, of course, you never completely healed from things like this. They leave scars. And unfortunately, they do affect everything that happens with you and people you care about. Of course, it affects your mental health as well. And again, like, you have to keep going back to the doctor. And now this puts another twist on it. You had already lost a loved one, and maybe in a way you even felt or even feel like you're losing another.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, is she going to be okay? Is she going to be there when I get home? Is she going to be... You know, I wake up in the morning, it just, and to see other people, like, prey on her and make that depression come out or make that bipolar worse.
Do people treat her differently because of her condition?
Yes.
Things seem to go wrong more frequently.
Yeah.
Situationally, I mean, different situations. And how do you feel overall right now these days? Do you feel like there's been accomplishments?
There has been. We've gotten through. She's had a rough year this year, really rough. Like,
yeah.
It's been a rough year for her. we've made some strides, but she does get into that mode where she wants to either talk to somebody that won't talk to her, or, and she wants it right now. And
yeah.
I can't help her with that. And I don't know how to help her with that.
Right.
To get her out of that manic state.
Mm-hmm. That funk, yeah. And in Amanda's mind, and I've seen this too with so many people, in their mind that if everybody just did the right thing, maybe I wouldn't have a problem. Everybody was just nice and did the right thing and was good people to other people that are good people, well, there wouldn't be a problem. But unfortunately, for so many people suffering, that's not the world we live in at all. It's not a nice world.
No, it's not. And people take advantage of it.
Yeah, they do. They sure do. Did any of that surprise you, Amanda?
What was the question?
Did any of this kind of surprise you, or has it given you some insight into, you know?
It's actually giving me a lot of insight. It doesn't really surprise me that people, you know, with mental health have been treated differently. And this is why I'm trying to stand up for the community, because it needs to be stood up for.
Have you and your mom ever talked about... I'm sorry, go ahead.
You were saying, Rob?
I didn't mean to step in. There's a little bit of a delay on the line. I'm sorry about that. Have you ever sat down and talked with, other family members at all, your mom, and seen how it affects, how it is affecting them, how it does affect them?
Yeah, her and I talk about it all the time.
Yes, we do. We try to talk about how it affects just us, because nobody of the family, there are some people of the family that understand, but they, most of them don't, especially when I try to tell them about how I feel, and then they turn on me.
I know there's a lot of, and I got to be honest with you, it's perfectly natural at some point in time to say, you know, and, you know, it might not be right to say, but the inclination is to say, can't you just stop that? Can't you just get better?
Right.
Why can't you just will yourself better? And I'm not, this is by no means assaulting anyone here. It just like, but it's so frustrating. I know the feeling. It's just like, you know, okay, what do we do next? What do we do next? I've gone through all the coping mechanisms. We've gone through all of the stress relievers. We've prayed. We've done X and Y and Z. We've tried a million different concoctions. But yeah, as a mom, as a mom or a dad, you know, you can never just give up on it. And it's like almost like a Chinese water torture where it's just drip, drip, drip. And,
yeah.
You know, I pray for all the moms and dads because they want desperately to help. And they keep trying, and they feel almost, in a sense, please forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn here, but I've seen it. I know people that they just feel like they're hopeless. They feel hopeless, like there's nothing they're going to be able to do to get through the tunnel, you know, and to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I'll say this. In so many cases, really, it's so difficult to see that one little sparkle of light. It's so far away still, or it just seems like it's so far away, and it's like grasping at hope your whole life, even without mental disorders. Some people are always hoping right around the corner, I'm going to get my salvation and see the light, and everything will be somewhat normal. And forgive me for using the term normal, but we all know that a lot of the behavior with these kind of disorders is abnormal, and there's no reason to hide that. And personally also, like I said earlier, we're also going to have another guest on not tonight, I don't think. We're going to run out of, against the clock. But and then we're going to talk about how it affects children of those who have the are diagnosed with a health disorder. And I'm kind of curious, when we discuss that, I'm kind of curious to see how old the children are when they kind of come to the realization. Do they know it? How old are they? What age will they realize that, you know, that Ashley has her mental health disorders? And when do you share that with a child, too? It's interesting for me to learn more about. But I'm really glad we had this conversation. And I hope that everybody on this phone call and those who are listening, we've got a few people listening, we get more of our listens after once people start talking about it. And is this hard to talk about? But for both of you, just answer me one at a time. How hard is it to really air this and to kind of talk about it? And how important do you think it is or is not that we all do that?
I think it's very important.
Okay. As to why
it has to be talked about.
It has to, because if we, even though we're taking a chance,
yeah.
And if we lose somebody, we can't really do anything about it. But the fact is,
right.
We can do something about it to prevent or try to prevent losing any more people. Because I will admit, I almost lost my battles last night.
Yeah.
I was very upset last night, and I was thinking about letting my battles win. Not really letting it, but it was overwhelming. And I was not going to go in to another family member's room and wake them up because they had already been up all day. And I just, one of my friends actually had panicked and called me though. And I'm still sitting here today because of it. It is very important to talk about this, especially, you know, I was very fortunate to run into somebody. I ran into a reporter not too long ago, and they said they were going to talk to me about it, and I never received anything. And it's this type of stigma that makes me so irate and so upset, because mental health, as this reporter stated, is a part of our lives, end quote, and it needs to be talked about, end quote. And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't tell me something. Just don't tell somebody something if you're not going to do it. And I understand getting busy, but it's been weeks.
Right.
And
okay, well, go ahead, Mom.
This is where I figured out, okay, well, we're just going to do our own thing then, because we're going to do our own thing and we're going to continue what we have been doing since day one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's try to stop the stigma. And I would like to also pray for the person that we had recently lost, family.
Just go ahead and just quickly, just the first name.
Naomi Judd.
Oh, okay.
We lost her to mental illness, and I would just like to shout out prayers for her family.
No. I agree with that wholeheartedly, and amen on that one. I had one more question. Now it's let me ask you something. This feeling from last night, this was triggered by the reporter not basically blowing you off? That was your trigger?
It wasn't just, it actually was not just that. It was a whole mix of things in my mind, because I can't really do anything at night to keep my mind occupied. So it was just everything.
So you feel like you're not doing enough?
Yeah.
So I do want you to understand one thing, please. And this is a great example, actually, of something that really, because you have not familiar with, let's say, being in a newsroom or working with a reporter or whatever like that, never personalize that, because these people come and go. They want to talk to you today. The story changes tomorrow. You can't talk to them. So don't personalize that. Don't let that be an effect on your person, because that's one of those things, like I said earlier, is really an everyday life occurrence. They're usually not trying to be mean, but some of them are. But try not to personalize that. You got enough on your plate. Just take it as just a reporter thing, and that's just what happens, you know? So I know you had a mix of things, and I know how it works. Trust me. I've had days or weeks or a month. You know, I had COVID. I didn't know where I was for 24 hours. My brain was swelling from COVID. And I'll tell you what, when I woke up after having, you know, but like I say, there's a lot of things that happened to a lot of people. I lost a job in December. I had just between losing a job, being sick in the hospital 3 or 4 times. And I believe I lost a job because I was so sick. And honestly, we've all had those weeks or days, and things seem like they're building, and they build and build and build. And, you know, it's just one of those everyday things you just can't do anything about. So try not to punish yourself over those things. And also, I almost feel like, in a way, you're punishing yourself for these losses that we've suffered. But honestly, you're doing the exact opposite. You're actually doing something. And without you involved in this project, maybe I wouldn't be back in it right now. So look at those positives and try to say, listen, as we keep doing this, at some point in time, that reporter is going to be knocking on our door saying, guys, I want to talk to you guys. And it happened our first round with this, our first go. Remember what happened? It was really hard to get traction, really hard, really hard. Next thing you know, we're getting interviewed 3-4 times a week. And so keep that in mind. Just keep in mind that none of this has been a failure. You just quit. And as long as you're still, you know, and I think actually it gives you something to fight for. And so what we need to do in here in this process is come up with a way to, like, calculate how many people maybe, because here's the thing we don't know, is how many people we saved in the process. We can count how many we've lost, but we should also have a chart of how many we've saved. And I can tell you the names off the air of the ones that we have saved. And not just, you know, not just us, not just the healing with art, but what I can tell you is that we had that theater over there in Utica. We had a lot of people over there. Some of them we've lost. But what we cannot calculate is how many we saved or helped.
Right.
So when it comes to this process and the reporter, trust me, if we can get this rolling, which I'm confident we can, and I think we've already started, they're going to hear our material. They're going to see what we're doing. They're going to see our names and our accomplishments. And then before you know it, just like the first time, we're going to be doing interviews once a week and hopefully raising money, getting our nonprofit status, and then moving along with all this. So keep that in mind, too, when you're beating yourself up. You know, a lot of times, and I found this with so many people, you're very hard on yourself. You're very hard on things that you can't control. And whether that reporter calls back or not, we'll find one that will, you know? So don't just count the ones we've lost, but let's make up our own internal list of those who we probably saved or helped save.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of a gold star chart, right?
Yeah.
So looks like we lost the other line. Probably something came up, but that's fine. I think this was a really, really successful episode here today.
Me too.
And I can relate to the feeling, like I say. So, you know, a lot of times, I mean, everybody has their own degree of success and failure. You're going to have, but the thing that's important is nobody stops trying, you know, and I have every confidence in the world that people that you really truly care about and your loved ones, not the people that treat you badly, the ones who truly do love you and the ones who truly do want to help their loved ones with mental health disorder, it's just, it. I mean, quite frankly, it could be, I have family members who are physically injured and quadriplegic, and quite frankly, the biggest thing that they've done right is just, one, accepted that this might be probably a lifelong process, but you just can't. The only way you lose is if you give up. Otherwise, you're still fighting. Keep up the fight. I'm speaking to everybody in the world right now, not just talking to people with mental health disorder, because at some point or another, most people suffer some mental breakdowns, some mental issues, and diagnoses and different medications. People with long-term health issues, some of my closest friends and family, are constantly fighting the battle with the pain. Your pain is mental. Their pain is physical with their joints falling apart or deteriorating. But it's a lifelong battle, and the only way you lose it is when you quit.
When you quit or when your body can't handle it anymore.
Well, I mean, in a way, both those things, because the thing is, you can't have lifelong pain and not have mental health issues. If you're in pain your whole life, it causes the mental health issue. It causes the breakdown. But no, yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're in a wheelchair and can't move your hands or legs or feet, the only thing you got is hope on any given day sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But they're both, the thing that people don't understand is that when you see somebody in the wheelchair, you already kind of have a background story and your emotions kick in and whatever. Yeah, people don't want people to walk around feeling sorry for them, but it affects people. When you have a mental breakdown or a mental issue, nobody can see it. And they treat people differently. It's one of those things about this world that is, it's just wrong and it's sad and it's hard and it's depressing and it causes anxiety, but that's also one of those things that we're not going to change these people, but we surely can give them more to think about.
Yeah, I agree. We can stop. We can't really stop change the actions of other people, but we can.
Right.
We can stop the stigma of mental health and how it's treated. I mean, pain is pain.
Yeah.
Abuse is abuse, whether it's.
Yeah.
Whether it's mental, verbal, physical, and a lot of people forget this one, psychological as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And abuse is abuse. When a lot of people think of abuse as well as mental health, it's, you're crazy or you're disabled, stay away from me. And it's not really about that. Health is health, whether it's mental, verbal, physical, emotional. It all plays in.
No.
It all plays in with each other.
Sure does.
And it also works
the other way around too. We're just down to 60 seconds. Just one thing real quick. A lot of people see somebody who's physically disabled and they assume that they're have mental issues. And that is by far, as we know, is absolutely not always or even rarely is the case. So there's a lot of stigmas we're going to work on, and I think our work will be a lifelong work. This is not going to solve – I don't see us solving this in our lifetime, but we sure will try. We got 45 seconds. Amanda, thanks for co-hosting the show with me. We're going to do this again as soon as we can get Ashley on the line here. Just tell her we'll reschedule.
Yeah.
No big deal. Okay?
All right. I will definitely – I'm supposed to – talk to her today, so I will definitely let her know.
All right, just let me know and we'll talk off the air here. We got 20 seconds. Look up Amanda Doan, Healing with Amanda Doan. You can look us up, Spotlight on Mental Health with Robin Amanda. You can Google the website, Healing with ARC, CNY, stands for Central New York. Everybody, thanks for coming, and Godspeed. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Keep fighting, survivors.
You got it, Amanda.